there, and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Tim Kearns off tonight, but we have got a full program. And I'm going to have to run out when the spot's run and go grab my paper with all the scores in it. Anyway, this presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. The Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. By the way, Sylvan Street Grill, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and watch high school football on big screen TV. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plashtown, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for all your estate planning. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. Lynn Museum, 590 Washington Street in Lynn. Columbia Insurance of Lynn. The Porthole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder. Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, serving the North Shore since 1877. Well, there you go, and let's just cut the music down here. And as I said, I'm going to have to go out and grab my my score sheet here. But full lineup for you tonight. We're going to start off as we usually do. Our first segment will feature sports writer and sports historian Gary Larrabee, who will sort of close out the golf season for us for now. Probably going to highlight the work of Jordan Spieth over the weekend. Big comeback, and I guess he won the FedEx Cup and all the millions of dollars that go with it after rebounding nicely from not playing so well, I should say, the last couple of months. So Gary will be on board in a few minutes. We'll talk with sports writer Matt Roy of the Daily Item and itemlive.com. Matt at a lot of games over the weekend. He was at the Gloucester-Swampscott game. We will talk a little bit about that. And rather an interesting game, to say the least. A very surprising first half in that game. I don't think I've ever seen one quite like it. And we'll also talk with Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli. A big win for the Patriots and a come-from-behinder in one of our broadcast games on Friday night. Also talk with Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. The Green Hornets with a big win. They're now 2-1. They had a big win on Friday night as well. And we'll talk with Salem football coach Matt Bouchard as the Witches broke out on top for the first time with a win over Saugus. So we'll engage all those guys here this evening. Now, Bill also has an interview up on the website with Ipswich football coach Kevin Fassett. He's the new coach at Ipswich, and you will want to take a look at that. I guarantee you want to take a look at that. He's got, let me just check it here. Click on the website, go to our front page, and there it is. Well, where is it? I know I saw it. There it is. Ipswich football earns their first win of the season, and first-year coach Kevin Fassett is interviewed, and you will hear the radio interview of that if you just go to the website and click on it. Now, we also have a lot of stuff coming up this week. We have a mare's race tomorrow in Gloucester, so Josh Arnold will talk about that on Friday at 10 a.m. as we feature Trending Now with Josh Arnold from 10 to 11 live on Friday at 10 a.m. And also Friday we'll have Beverly at Lynn English Football, Beverly High School traveling to Lynn English Friday night. And we'll feature our video game Gloucester at Revere. We are changing that from Marblehead at Peabody. We are going to do the Gloucester at Revere game. That will be our video game coming from the brand new Della Russo Stadium. And we'll be, as I said, talking with Coach Ciccatelli later on. Also talk with Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli later on in the week, too. Now, Bill is off this weekend. I'll be off the following weekend on Friday, October 9, as we'll have Peabody at Lynn Classical, and Winthrop at Gloucester will be the video game on Friday. And then on Saturday, Marblehead will be playing at Beverly. I believe that's Beverly's first home game, and it will be at Endicott College at noontime on Saturday the 10th. So Beverly has played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it'll be their sixth game when they finally get to play a, quote, home game, unquote. So there you go. That's our lineup of broadcasts in the relatively near future. And we hope that you will be tuning us in and telling people about this new website, msonewsports.com. It's a baby, really, of more stuff online, which we started 10 years ago. Bill Proposky and I and Tim Kearns and Bill Newell joining very, very shortly thereafter. And we've been at it ever since. And sort of the grandfather of all of this was WESX Radio over in Salem. All right, so we need to take a break. We'll do that. Now come back. I'll go over some scores with you, and then we'll talk with Gary Larrabee of the Salem Evening News. Well, he used to be the Salem Evening News, but now he's a sports writer. He does features at the Salem Evening News. I believe the last golf feature will be this week. So we'll talk to Gary in just a few minutes. Stay with us, please.
folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Cinnamon Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Cinnamon Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Cinnamon Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Yeah, it always helps when you have the microphone on. Okay, there we go. Talking without the microphone on. All right, joining us now is sports writer, sports historian Gary Larrabee. Hey, Gary.
Good morning. I should say good morning. No, I'm not in Hawaii. Good evening, Rick.
Yeah, well, you know what? Even in Hawaii, it's early afternoon. Well, you know what, Gary? Maybe that eclipse threw everybody off last night. Did you get a chance to look at that?
Yeah, I'm up here in a beautiful part of Maine on the coast, and I had a chance to watch it occur over the Atlantic Ocean, so it was quite a kick, and it gave me a chance to catch my breath after the amazing performance of Jordan Spieth this weekend down at the Tour Championship.
You've got to put that in perspective for me, because he tore up the golf circuit in the early part of the summer, late spring, early summer, tore it up, set all kinds of records, and was the second coming of Tiger Woods. And then he kind of faded off as Day took over, and now Jason Day took over, and now Jordan Spieth comes back. Put that in some kind of perspective for me before you wax poetic on all the stats and stuff.
It's really, Rick, one of the first years we have seen a swing. You know, one player truly dominate the first two majors and actually almost win the other two majors, and he was really the sole story of the first seven and a half months. Then Jason Day beats him, you know, to win the fourth major into August, mid-August, and Day wins three more tournaments, I believe. And we haven't seen that kind of a two-player combination in some time. But then, of course, Spieth comes back this week, wins the PGA Tour Championship in Atlanta, which was worth like $1.5 million. And that brought him to a new record total of like $12 million and change for the official PGA Tour year. And of course he wins the $10 million bonus for winning the FedEx Cup playoffs, covering the last four tournaments, the first two of which he missed the cut.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, we have to go right back, Rick, and say this has been the year of Jordan Spieth, with a pretty good bridesmaid role for Jason Day. And of course it just leads to a fantastic build-up to next season, when Rory McIlroy, the new star of 2014, when he won two majors, Then this year he doesn't do anything. He breaks his ankle playing soccer with his buddies. And he'll be back at full force in the first of the year. And it should make for a phenomenal 2016.
Well, I think it's been a phenomenal 2015 as well. And as you mentioned, it's been a long time since we've seen a 1-2 punch like this. And, you know, these guys, those two guys really dominated the pro golf scene all season long.
They did. And like I said, I think I've said before, we haven't seen anything like this really. Probably going back to the 1960s with the big three, Nicklaus, Player, Palmer. There was Watson and Nicklaus in the 70s and early 80s. And it's just very exciting for golf. And the amazing thing, though, about Jordan Spieth is we can't say enough about what he did this year. The youngest player, I believe, to, I think, lead the money list. I'm not sure. Maybe Tiger beat him there. But the first player to win the Masters and the Tour Championship in the same year. And of course, his record winnings is another impressive feat. And he's only 22 years old, which is the most amazing part of this.
Does it say something about how he came back? Because, you know, sometimes you kind of burn out. Pro athletes do burn out, especially at that early age, you know, with the pressure and the circuit and all the events that they're participating in. But then he comes back so strong. I mean, that must say a lot about his internal character.
No question. Of course, you just can't keep it going for 8, 9, 10 months. What he did as it is almost superhuman. You're giving a tip of the hat to some of the amazing things Tiger has done over the years, but what I love most about this fellow, I think most of us golf purists, there's still a few of us out there, we're just thrilled with Amina's character, as you say, and just an all-American kid who were talked about yesterday after he won, not so much about how much he won, but the opportunity to win this much money gives him a chance to give back. And I got to believe very shortly, probably not until after he comes back from South Korea, where he'll be playing in the President's Cup representing the U.S. I believe that's in 2 weeks. I don't think it's this week. He'll be announcing some form of a foundation that'll be very specifically geared to helping those less fortunate in America because, of course, you know, he has a sibling. A daughter, I should say a sister, not a daughter, a sister, who has some disabilities. I think he's going to gear a big chunk of the money he's won this year, keeping in mind, Rick, he won an awful lot of money last year, to that a new foundation, which will be a wonderful cause. And that's just another part of who Jordan Spieth is.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool, and it's nice to hear that when those guys do that. What's the rest of the pro schedule like for the rest of the year? And then I know it sort of tails off a little bit, and then it comes back strong. And was it January or February?
Yeah, well, you know, they got the President's Cup coming up. I forget if it's this week or the next. The Americans take a team over to, I think it's a 12-player team, including Spieth, over to South Korea to take on what is really a team comprised of the rest of the world that doesn't represent Great Britain or Ireland in the Ryder Cup. And that's coming up very shortly. Then we come back, and the PGA Tour, what they actually do, they call it part of the beginning of their 2016 tour, even though it's actually 2015 on the calendar. And you can pretty much expect all the big-time players right now, Dave Spieth and McIlroy, to skip most, if not all, of these events coming up. The catch-up, there's also some big money events coming up in around the world that are not official, but they're big money events, and I'm sure because of their affiliation with certain corporate interests and whatnot, they'll play in a couple of those. You may recall Spieth won two tournaments in a row at the end of last year. He won in Australia, and then he came back here and won Tiger Woods' 72-hole tournament in Florida. I don't think he'll play in both of those events this year, but the official tour schedule, for all intents and purposes, for the big shots, will start in January, either in Hawaii or on the West Coast, and we'll do it all over again.
Okay. Have you been over to either Maui or Kauai?
I haven't, Rick, but it's on my bucket list. And the other thing is, just to get over there, you have to stop at Bandon Dunes if you're a real golfer and play those great courses up in Oregon. Then you go to Hawaii.
Okay.
Warm up.
All right, don't call it a bucket list. Call it a to-do list. I hate the term bucket list. What else can we talk about, Gary, before I let you go?
No, you know, the local golf season's winding down. It's pretty much over. It's been a great year for golfing and for competitive golf. I think, as we've talked before, the Salem Country Club starts a restoration project on their greens. I believe it's on next week. Take a month or so, and the greens will all be restored to their original condition from when Donald Ross first put them together back in 1925. And we'll really start the countdown for the 2017 U.S. Senior Open at Salem next spring, with a lot more things to report, a lot more things to talk to you about. We've also got two big events coming up on the North Shore next year, I've learned about, Eric. One, the Massachusetts Junior Championship will be played at Kernwood in August. And I believe the state senior championship will be played next September at Turner Hill.
Sounds great, as always. Now, are there any more features? You got one more in the Salem News this week?
No, we're done. September's the end of the line for all of my endeavors, and it's time to go into hibernation and enjoy life in a different route, and look forward to another golf season in 2016.
All right, that sounds great, Gary. I appreciate it. I love talking with you every week and learning so much about the sport, and it's like old home week every time we talk to you, so thanks.
Have a great fall and winter and early spring, and look forward to talking to you next year.
All right, I hope we talk before that, too. All right, thanks, Gary. Be safe.
Thanks. Be well. Thank you.
Gary Larrabee, sports writer, sports historian, and golf expert on MSONewsSports.com. Great guy, and I defy you to name anyone who knows more about the sport than Gary does in terms of what the heck is going on. Great stuff. Okay, need to take a break, and then upcoming, we will have a chat with the Revere football coach, Lou Ciccatelli.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, we're back. Having a little trouble getting through with Coach Ciccatelli, but we will, I presume, get a hold of him very soon. We also will be talking to Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton and Salem football coach Matt Bouchard, also with Matt Roy of the Daily Item. Some of the scores over the weekend, we mentioned the Gloucester-Swampscott game, but not the score. It was 48-13 Gloucester at the half, and that's the way the game ended up. Gloucester with over 400 yards of offense in the first half. Manchester Essex, big win over Georgetown, 34-0. How about the Prep, St. John's Prep over Everett, 35-13 in football. Fenwick over Northeast, 27-6. Ipswich, its first win, 14-12 over Hamilton-Wenham. And let's see, Beverly, 28, Peabody, 7. We did that game on Friday night. Bit of a surprise there, as the ease with which Beverly scored touchdowns in that one. Matt Madden, 119 yards. Doug Santos was credited with 33 carries, 202 yards for Peabody in that game. Marblehead in overtime, squeaking by Danvers, 29-23. Salem getting its first win, 19-7. Masconomet, its first win, 21-7 over Newburyport. Linfield, 41, Amesbury, 0. And let's see, Revere, big win over Classical, 19-14, and come from behinder. Lynn English, 26, Winthrop, 0, and Pentucket, 13, Triton, 10. And that takes care of that. Okay, so what we'll do, we'll take another break here, see if we can connect with Coach Ciccatelli again, and if not, we'll call the next person on the list. You're listening to MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer, and Tim Kearns, usually with us off tonight. Going to be off the next 2 weeks, as a matter of fact. I don't think we're going to be here on Monday next, and then, of course, following that is the holiday, so we won't be here for that one either. So we're going to be off for a couple of weeks.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite, eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley destination restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
All right, we'll try to get a hold of Coach Ciccatelli in a little while, but right now we're going to turn our attention to Salem football and talk with football coach Matt Bouchard. And Matt, welcome to the program, and congratulations on your first win.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Coach, tell us a little bit about the start this year, because what is this? This is your second full year there, right?
Correct.
All right, second year. So tell us about how the start has gone, and then we'll get into this win over Saugus on the weekend.
Yeah, so I think my first year we were really trying to build a vision and what we looked for the kids, how they should be approaching kind of day to day. And I think we got that vision solidified by the end of the season. And really this year we're trying to build a structure around that vision. And, you know, we've been real fortunate to have some upperclassmen that really understand the pieces that we need to put together. And we got guys committing to excellence now. We got guys really focused in. And the culmination of that was obviously the win on Friday night.
How about yourself in terms of I don't know, rhythm habit or whatever, as you go into the second season? Do you find it a little easier to get into a pattern after you've had the experience of the first year?
Of course, yeah. I think the biggest thing is that, you know, I had some carryover with previous staffs, so we had a number of the football coaches were guys that have worked with me, so that always makes it easier. But now we're in the second year where maybe some guys that I didn't have on the staff are with me. So I think, you know, from a organizational perspective, you know, things go a lot smoother. Expectations are much clearer. And from a student athlete perspective, you have a group of guys now that they've had a full off season, you know, under a new coach, and they understand what football camp's going to look and feel like. From a scheme perspective, they understand kind of what the expectations are. So all those pieces come in the second year. It just makes things flow a lot smoother.
You've had this particular addition now, with especially with your varsity back, you know, your returners, but you've had this addition for about a month now together. What have you seen? What are you most pleased with in terms of improvement from when this group first got together and where you are now?
Yeah, I think on the defensive side of the ball, we've made drastic improvements from last season. They've really impressed me. I think we have a lot of guys that are very aggressive. They understand the pieces and parts of the defensive philosophy, and they're playing real fast right now. They're really gang tackling, and as you know, defense really sets the tone, and it really can kind of help propel a young offense. So you know, our offense is really young. Again, it's still maturing. So when you're playing great defense, really putting the ball in good field position for the most part, really giving short fields to the offense, it really gives kind of the whole team an opportunity to win.
Well, I'm guessing that's probably what happened at Saugus, and I don't have the write-up here. So how'd the game go for you guys on Friday night?
Very good. And again, it gets back to the defense is really what really kind of propelled us that evening. Big thing, we had five turnovers. We really changed the game, and most of those turnovers put us in fairly good field position. And again, from a field position perspective, we were on the plus side of the field most of the evening. So it really helped our offense from a confidence perspective. Again, when push came to shove in the second half, the offense really picked it up and was able to finish.
Excellent. So the strength is the defense. What's the strength of the defense?
Well, I think our box play has, right at the preseason, it was very obvious that inside our box, our linebacker...
All right, now wait a minute. Inside the box, you're talking about, like, close to the line of scrimmage and close to the offensive
right.
Backfield? Okay.
Yeah, so sorry. Basically, it's the linebackers and the core D linemen. We got a lot of guys that got an opportunity to play as sophomores and, in some cases, freshmen last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now coming in with you know 6 to 8 games under their belt, coming in as juniors, and it's really shown. You know, we got some experience there, which has really allowed us to really control the line of scrimmage. And we got some younger kids in the secondary, but they're playing really fast and they're really supporting defense, and they're doing very well.
Who are some of the leaders for you guys?
Yeah, so offensively, Bailey Skeffington is one of our captains, and he's really been able to really set the tone on offense and really kind of help, really kind of get the organization that we need offensively to kind of get things moving forward. And he's playing right guard, but I will say that in huddle, you know, along with our quarterback, he's really been able to get the guys focused when need be, and then on the field. Without question,
mm-hmm.
he's the most vocal leader. Defensively, you know, we have a number of young men that have really stepped up. Ed Duran is another one of our captains. He plays on both sides of the ball, but on defense, he's a defensive tackle, and he's not as vocal. But I'll tell you, when it comes to to getting a group of guys to lock in and really kind of play when they need to play. Ed does a really nice job.
With Beverly, I noticed their special teams are unusually strong for a high school team. Do you guys get to practice special teams to any great length, you know, during the week?
We do. Yeah, we actually take great pride in special teams. You know, in other schools where I coached, to reinforce how important it was, I actually was the special teams coach as the head coach because I really wanted to reinforce how important it was.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Salem, you know, I've actually had a couple guys that have worked for me as special teams coordinators for me in the past, and we've brought them in here, and we dedicate actually a large percentage of our time to special teams because,
okay,
again, one of our core values when it comes to plan to win is really field position. So the kicking game is very important to us. If we don't play great special teams, we're never going to put our offense in a position to be successful.
Cool, yeah, and I know how hard that is to drill it in because a lot of kids don't want to play special teams. They want to be offense or defensive heroes. So I know it takes a special effort. How are the numbers with you guys this year, Coach?
Well, we actually graduated a pretty big class last year. We graduated over 20 kids last year.
Mm-hmm.
So the numbers in the sophomore and junior class are a little lean. But the freshman class is very big. We actually have over 25 kids in the freshman class, and so the numbers in the younger grades are much better. We have about 55 kids top to bottom right now.
Oh, okay, that's not too bad. I noticed the numbers seem to be up all over the league in the games we've done so far. Final question for me, Coach. Before we just take a quick look at your next opponent. How are the younger kids incorporated into football in Salem? In Gloucester, there's been a big change, and a lot of the towns have Pee Wee programs and other programs. What's it like in Salem?
Yeah, we're actually real fortunate. The Youth Football League in Salem, right when I actually got involved here at Salem High School, I met right away with the director of the Salem Youth, and we really kind of went into it. We really wanted to generate one big team, you know, from basically the Titan level, the first and second graders, right up to a senior in high school. We really wanted to have kind of the synergy between both the youth and the high school. And starting last year, you know, offensively and defensively, the youth runs the same systems as high school. You know, if we're entering a second year of that together, we try to do a lot of youth clinics and really try to kind of really bridge the gap between those two programs.
Excellent. Yep.
I think for the future, I think that's an important step to really get Salem back on the map.
Absolutely.
When it comes to that youth program, in general, the last 4 years I've watched it closely because one of my boys actually plays in the youth, and I think over the last 4 years it's almost doubled in size.
Okay. All right.
You know, so kids are coming out to play football again in Salem, and it's just really great to see.
Very good. Well, you've got Winthrop next. They're having trouble winning, but you've got to go to Miller Field, and that is never a road trip that's fun to get down there to. So tell us a little bit about the Winthrop Vikings.
Yeah, so I mean, I think because of the way the schedule lined up, we actually get to travel them twice. We traveled there last year, and we get to go there again this year. So and there's no question, anytime you get on the road, you know, you really got to make sure you bring in your defense, and it's always hard to go to someone else's field. So Winthrop, I think over, you know, the few years that I've really watched them, you know, they're well coached, and, you know, we really need to make sure that we're controlling the line of scrimmage. For us to be successful, on Friday, we really need to make sure that, defensively we control the line of scrimmage, and, we just gotta stay on schedule offensively. I think if you watch the Saugus game, a majority of the time in that game, when it came to down and distance, we kind of stayed on schedule and were able to kind of move the ball consistently down the field. Previous games, we were very inconsistent, and obviously it we struggled. I think if what I've seen even at practice, that consistency is kind of continued, so we're hoping to kind of push that right into Friday night.
All right. Well, Matt, congratulations on your first win, and good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Take care. That is Salem football coach Matt Bouchard. We'll take a quick break and come back with Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli. You're listening to MSO Newsports.com. We'll be right back.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on Tuesday, September 29th, and I approve this message.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastown, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is Mayor Safathi Romeo Taken, and I'm running for mayor of Gloucester. I'm so proud to be your mayor. We're bringing Gloucester back, together. I want to be elected. In order for me to be elected, I need your vote on September 29th. For me to be on the ballot November 3rd, please, don't assume. Go vote September 29th. Since I took over position in January, we have accomplished more than I ever thought we could do. We conquered the winter. We balanced the budget. We brought Gloucester across the bridge to the State House. We ensured heritage and culture and preserved it. We made Gloucester alive this summer. I was born here, lived here all my life. I'm Gloucester, and I want to move Gloucester forward together. So please, vote September 29th and vote Safathia.
All right, we're back with Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli. And, Coach, it's been great so far. Congratulations on another just a routine home ho-hum win, huh?
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that. Big win for us. Thank you very much. Big win. Big win for the boys, for the program. Anytime you can go to Manning Bowl and play a team like Classical and get out of there with a win, it's huge. So we're pretty excited.
Well, you know, you should be, and I noticed that you're scoring well, but, you had to come from behind in this one, and, you know, even though Classical's record doesn't show it, man, they got a good team and they got a lot of terrific athletes.
Make no mistake about it. They have a ton of good athletes. And, we knew we had our work cut out for us. I told the boys they were going to be a very angry 0-2 team, and that game could have went either way the other night. And, you know, we were fortunate to get a couple of stops late and a couple of breaks, and, you know, we get out of there with a win. So, very happy. It's always great to be 3-0, and it's always great to come from behind in a football game like we did, also. So,
there are things that a fan will see that are obvious in a game as a turning point or as a big play. What do you see as a coach in that game, Lou, that maybe a fan didn't see that was very significant for you guys to get that win?
I thought for us it was just taking what they would give us. And we had tailback Stephen Nolan, one of my captains, who got some real tough yards, off tackle and up the middle. And we were able to, kind of do what we wanted to do against them with him. And, early on in the game, if you're watching, they were stuffing us. They were all over the place. They have a lot of good team speed. And we were just, like I said, we were just fortunate that we made a few adjustments and we got the ball going up and off tackle in the middle.
Well, I wasn't watching you guys. I was watching the scoreboard because I was watching Beverly at Peabody. And Beverly, boy, their offense just looks terrific, but their special teams are so impressive.
Really, yeah. I saw them on tape. I saw them play Gloucester, and they're a machine.
Mm-hmm.
They're a machine.
All right, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
All right, I was going to say, you mentioned Steve Knoll, and he is our MSO News Sports Player of the Game. We're going to have a Player of the Game every weekend here from the games that we do. We've done 9 broadcast games so far, and he's the player of 3 games. And Coach, you mentioned he had 18 carries and 75 tough yards, including a touchdown. On defense, you mentioned he had 8 tackles and a sack. So tell us a little bit more about this young man.
Yeah, Stevie's, Stevie's a heart and soul of the team. He's a senior captain, and last year he led us in tackles, and this year he's leading us in tackles on defense. And, you know, he's not a kid that we give the ball to a whole ton of a lot. We've got a whole slew of different running backs, if you will. But Stevie was a guy on Friday night that did his job when he got his chances, and he did a real good job. And, you know, we're looking forward to giving him the ball more.
We got the video game Gloucester at Revere on Friday night, and the last time I was at a Revere game, for want of a better word, it was sort of like playing on concrete. It was a tough feel, but it's a whole new experience now, and I know that you guys have probably scouted Gloucester, so this should bring a pretty big turnout to Del Arusso.
We've had close to opening night 1,500 people. Our second game we had close to over 1,000. I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere close to 15 because I know Gloucester brings a big crowd. And they're playing some real, real good football this year. We did see them on tape. We actually saw them this Saturday against Swampscott. And we most certainly have our work cut out for us. They are a machine on offense. We're going to have to really play our A game to stay close to them, I think, on Friday.
Well, you always do. I mean, Revere-Gloucester, Gloucester has, for the most part, come out on the winning side. But you guys have played them very tough. And save for injuries, it might have been a different story over the years.
We have. There have been some good football games. They haven't played in a while, so I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great high school football matchup, and right now we're the top two teams, and, you know, my boys and myself, we can't wait to get going on Friday.
Well, I love the enthusiasm, Coach. Lou, anything else you want to tell us about Revere before we go over and see you on Friday night?
Just want to get better every week, and that's what we've been doing. That's what I tell the guys every day. Let's just get better and better. And I'll hopefully turn it into something this year.
Well, congratulations, Lou. It's great, and looking forward to seeing you guys on Friday night.
Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coach. Take care. That is Revere football coach Lou Ciccatelli. They're off to a 3-0 start, and they will be hosting Gloucester on Friday night. We'll have that video game, weather permitting, of course, starting at 7 p.m. And my thanks to Coach Ciccatelli. Now, we're going to try to give the Manchester Essex football coach a call here in a minute. Jeff Hutton, as Manchester picked up its second win in 3 tries over the weekend. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Okay, we are back, and we're talking now with Manchester, I almost said Beverly, Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. And Coach, congratulations on your second win in 3 weeks.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Coach, good start for you guys. A little dip a week ago, but tell us about the two wins.
Well, both wins are shutout wins against two really tough opponents. You know, the first one was against Northeast Vocational Tech. Play a really tough brand of football. They ran the ball every snap except maybe 3 or 4 plays, and they just get toe-to-toe, and then they try to muscle you and beat you at the point of attack. And then Georgetown was a little different, running a spread-type offense, but they ran the ball more than they passed the ball, so they were in the spread to kind of get to the edge on us. And I think our teams responded to the challenge of those games, and we were lucky enough to shut both of them out.
Well, you know, you did. You got the shutout. You've also scored 60 points in 3 games. That's not too shabby. So your offense seems to be working. And Nick Kukuru mentioned a catch by Evan Penoyer that maybe you could recap for us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We've been working all week on Georgetown runs a quick screen for one of the receivers. So we were, you know, our demo team has been practicing all week, and you know, our Evan Penoyer is our outside linebacker. So his responsibility on that play is to kind of squeeze one of the receivers and then shuffle out. As he was squeezing the guy, started shuffling out, the quarterback threw like a seed right to his receiver, and Evan just stuck his hand out, and it just stuck right in there. It was like one of those things that you see on like the highlight tape. So it just happened to just stick his hand right out, and it just stuck right there. One-handed job, right?
That's spectacular.
It's interception right there.
Coach, we talked a little bit before the season started about the installation of a new offense, and there was a little bit of raised eyebrows when you first met with the team. And how's that going along now?
Well, I think they're starting to buy into it. I think when they realize how easy it is for us to kind of, you know, like our last game, we had three running backs over 70 yards, you know. So
wow.
Tough for teams to really... You know, we had an 81, I think 77, and 70. So those were our top three rushers. So it helps. You know, when you only have one back in the backfield, you can kind of focus on that. But when you got three guys that can touch the ball at any given time, and then our quarterback ran for almost 30 yards too. So you have four guys that are legitimate threats to touch the ball and run the ball at any given play.
I've been talking all night about special teams because we saw Beverly play Peabody on Friday night, and The Panthers special teams, in 2 weeks in a row, I saw them against Gloucester too, are phenomenal. And of course they have Matt Madden, which helps. But do you guys get to work on special teams, to any length?
Oh, we spend at least 20 to 25 minutes every single practice on our special teams. It's funny you mention that because I know the special teams coordinator over at Beverly is, Coach Mark Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Really good friend of mine, and he was actually at my wedding. I was in his wedding, so we're really close. So that's no surprise that their special teams are great, and I think we have put a big emphasis over at Manchester Essex on that. We try to stress that it is still one third of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as important as offense and defense, and when bad things happen on special teams, you probably lose that game. And when good things happen to you, when you do good things, then you usually win that game. So that's kind of what our emphasis has been on, to make sure that we don't neglect that and we actually make it a priority.
Yeah, their field position has just been amazing, the two games that we've seen. Well, Coach, you've got Hamilton when I'm next, and although, what do I see here, they're 0-3 overall, they're still a big school, they're still well coached, and you have to travel. Do you travel over there in this game?
Yeah, we play there Saturday at 2 o'clock because it's an SAT morning.
Mm-hmm.
So they're tough. I mean, Coach Morency has done a great job over there. I know some of the guys on the coaching staff personally. So those kids are always going to play tough. I went and watched the game against Ipswich. They're physical. They're big. They can move. So it's no matter what the records are, all these, like we tell these kids, every game, the next game is the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, okay.
This is our biggest game of the season this Saturday.
All right, Coach, since you started a month ago with these kids, what's been your most pleasant surprise or the best the highlight for these kids so far in your eyes?
How well they take to the coaching. You know, we were able to, now that we have some games under our belt, to watch it on film, and you know, the stuff that we try to correct in those film sessions, you can actually see the improvement now moving forward. So we have definitely gotten better in all facets from the first week till now, and I still don't, and I keep telling these kids that, and they, you know, I think they're buying into it, that we still haven't played our best football yet, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to peak too soon. We want to keep building the season. We want to peak at just the right time.
You know, Jeff, that's an interesting point. Beverly has had so much success over the years where you've coached and so on. I don't know how to ask the question, but peaking is important. Even in high school, when you're teaching kids, you don't want the kids to peak too early and burn out before they go to college. Is there a way to sort of hold on the reins a little bit and then pull it back a little bit when you're coaching kids?
Well, you know what? I think, you know, you who you are as a coach, and you want to push the kids and get the most out of them every day. And you never want to hold anyone back if you see. But I think by making sure that you hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you're, like, for example, we watched game film from last week, right? Yeah, we won 34-0. But there were 22 minutes of that game where we barely moved the ball. Like, okay, we scored 21 points in the first quarter, you know, and the other points we got in the fourth quarter. But that second and third quarter, we goose eggs on the scoreboard. So that's the type of stuff that we need to make sure that we don't let happen, because there's going to be some teams that are going to be able to come back from 21-0 going down here.
Oh, absolutely.
3 minutes is still a lot of football left, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't mean hold back. I think a better way of putting it is there a point, or do you see when you can put more responsibility on their shoulders? You can give them more to do. You can give them more sophisticated coaching. Is that part of what you do too in high school?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you no matter what you're running as an offense, you want to make sure that they can run your base plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to have something you can hang your hat on. Like, you know, if you need 2 yards, like, oh, run that play. That's the play we're going to run. You know, if you don't have that, then what's the sense in adding a bunch of other things if you don't have, like, your go-tos?
Right.
Same thing on defense. Like, you could come up with all these fancy blitzes and all that stuff, but if they don't know how to play fundamental defense where they're reading their keys and doing that type of stuff, what good is it?
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, well, final question for me then is, is there some kid you might want to just point out and say, okay, he's not a superstar, didn't get all his stats, but he did a good job for me in the films, and maybe you might just want to send a little pat on the back his way?
Yeah, I think I'd like to give a little pat on the back to, a couple of linemen. Actually, that's my position, so I always notice those guys when I coach them individually, right?
Absolutely.
So, we're starting a freshman at center. His name is Noah Rawson, and he actually started at nose guard for us Friday night as well. And was skimless. He was able to start both ways, and he's really starting to figure it out. And the fact that a freshman, like a true freshman, is starting on the offensive line, you know, tells you something. One, you know, our numbers aren't what they could be, but for the fact that a kid could actually slide into that lineup and actually perform pretty well, you know, he's going to be a really good football player for us in the future.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but don't centers have to be pretty smart?
Well, the day-old adage is, you know, the closer you are to the ball on offense, the smarter you have to be, right?
Okay. Spoken like a true lineman. All right, Jeff, I wish you well. I'm going to get over there and see you guys and talk to some of the captains. But in the meantime, good luck this weekend, and thanks so much for talking with us tonight.
Oh, no problem. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care, Jeff. All right, that is Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. They have their second victory under the belts. He's the first-year head coach over there for the Green Hornets. We have one more break to take, and we'll come back and check in with Matt Roy of the Daily Item. This is MSU News Sports. The hour is just kind of rolling along. We'll be right back. Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Madruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
All right, we're right back. We're with sports writer Matt Roy of the Daily Item. And Matt, it's been too long. How are you?
I'm good, Rick. You haven't seen you since Saturday.
Well, that's true, but it's been too long since we've talked on this program. And let's start with Saturday's program, if you will, Saturday's game. I think all of us in that press box were absolutely blown away by that first half score, 48-13. And I've just never seen anything like that in high school, save one possible other Gloucester game when they played a South Shore Division I opponent. But 48-13 in the first half, just kind of a very strange day.
I mean, to put this in perspective, the only team I've ever covered that I saw do that in person was the New England Patriots when they went undefeated in 16-0 when they played the Houston Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the only time I've ever seen put up an offensive show like they did in the first, like Gloucester did in the first half on Saturday afternoon.
It was very strange because, yeah, it was. And you know, I mean, Gloucester didn't show that kind of offense against Beverly the week before, and certainly Swampscott didn't show giving up that kind of play on defense. So a total surprise. And, you know, I think if we just look ahead for a second, I was just talking to Coach Ciccatelli down in Revere, and the Gloucester-Revere game looks like it's going to be a pretty decent matchup.
I mean, it's one of those games you kind of, before the year started, you didn't know what you were going to get from those two teams because they were both rebuilding the last couple of years. Now, all of a sudden, Friday night looks like a very big game playoff-wise and conference-wise.
Yeah, absolutely. The other game we did was, of course, on Friday night, Bill had Lynn, he had Revere and Lynn Classical, and that was a terrific matchup. And then we saw Beverly really do a good job in controlling Peabody, which, again, surprised me, the margin of point differential in that one. However, Doug Santos, his usual 200 yards, and I think the Peabody Tanners are going to rebound quite nicely.
I mean, Mark Betancourt got them going away, but he says a lot about Beverly that Doug Santos gets over 200 yards, and they still win by 21 points. That's just how dominant they were.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a good point. And what do you think of the league so far this year, Matt? The conference, Northeast Conference.
It's been an interesting year. We had a lot of questions about a lot of teams because so many of the really good players we've seen the last few years, they're all gone. They're not here anymore. So you had a Marble team in transition. You have a Gloucester team that's on its way back up. You've got the Lynn teams that are in a transition year. So it's kind of hard to get a feel now as we're into the conference, because now you're going to really see how good these teams actually are starting last week and now going forward.
I haven't seen Marblehead yet, and we have yet to talk with Coach Rudloff, and it's always enlightening, and it's a learning lesson for me when I talk with him. But, you know, I'm looking at their offense, and Marblehead, with the one loss, two wins, you know, they're second in scoring only to Beverly and Revere. Beverly has 97, Revere 95, and then Marblehead with 91. So it looks like, well, maybe they lost some guys, but they've got some guys as well who can still get on the scoreboard.
I mean, they have a lot of guys. They're very fortunate that they've blown so many teams up the last few years. These backups, they've played games. They've played meaningful snaps a lot of times in these games. So they're not inexperienced. It's just a matter of putting them all together in the right spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, Matt, you know, you don't do just football, and we tend to stick with football a lot on Monday nights. But in the next couple of minutes, maybe you could express your opinion about some of the other sports that have caught your attention, wherever it might be, in Lynn or Peabody or Swampscott, wherever it might be. What has caught your eye so far this fall?
I mean, I'm here at work tonight. I'm looking at the schedule for this week, and two soccer games have caught my eye, and they happen to both be on the same day. I believe it's Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Everly plays Swampscott in boys and girls, and they're both right at the top of the Northeastern Conference in boys and girls soccer. I believe the Swampscott boys are undefeated, and so are the Beverly boys, and I believe the Swampscott girls and Beverly girls have not lost yet. No, actually, Beverly lost to Peabody, but that just tells you there's so many good teams around here that don't get the publicity, because we know football season, it's kind of where everybody goes, but there's so many good teams, it would be nice to see some of them getting other recognition out there.
Well, we have to do that. I know Bill is making a concerted effort as my new boss to push us to do that. So you're going to see us around some of these other fields where ordinarily we wouldn't be in it. You know, the thing is, it's easy to cover football because so many people go there and it's only once a week. But you're right. And, you know, the coaches and the players in these other sports, whether it's cross country or soccer, field hockey, whatever it might be, volleyball. I mean, Peabody had a big volleyball game the other night while the football game was going on. So it is good to get out there, and you guys at the item absolutely do that.
I mean, we try. I mean, it's not easy when you're trying to balance working in the office, getting people out to games, trying to get everybody covered. You don't want to look like you're favoring anybody when you do this job, but you try to get out and do what you can.
It ain't easy, brother. Well, we're down to the last minute, Matt. I got a little late on the coaches, but let's turn our attention to the Patriots for 1 second. Are they on a mission this year? Has Tom Brady got... is he zeroed in or what?
We remember what happened when they went 16-0, correct?
Oh, yeah.
The wrong thing to do was motivate the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
I think you've motivated them even more this year than when Spygate happened.
I guess Rodney Harrison was on the other day, and he said the NFL has made a big mistake in angering the Patriots and Tom Brady. And yesterday watching the game, I'm thinking, well, you know, somebody was saying, well, why are they running up? They're not running up the score. That's what they do. They play 60 minutes. But on the other hand, I thought of the phrase, if you ain't with us, then you're against us. And nobody came to their defense, you know, during this last. So I just wonder if that does help motivate them. Have you covered the pros down there? Have you done that at all?
I haven't seen them in a while, but I've seen them. I watch every game they play usually. And I don't think you're going to see Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, and they take it very easy on anybody.
Well, no.
These next few weeks, especially after the bye week, then they come back and play a very down Dallas team with injuries.
I know. Injuries are awful this year. Well, Matt, let's not be strangers to each other. I want to have you on here more often and get your opinion and your expertise on this stuff, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely, Rick. No problem.
All right, big guy. We'll talk to you later then, and see you at the next game.
Take care, Rick. Always a
pleasure. Okay, Matt. Thank you so much. Matt Roy, who's...
No problem.
sports writer down at the Item, dailyitem.com, one of our very, very important sponsors this year. We appreciate all of our sponsorships, of course. Thank you so much for letting us do this and getting high school football out there free of charge. We have Radio Channel A, Radio Channel B, and live streaming video. And I believe we're the only people in the area who do that. So spread the word, please. We're not getting enough visitors. We need to increase our visitors. So again, this Friday it will be Beverly at Lynn English. That will be the Friday night game on Channel B, on Channel A with video. It will be Marble. No, I'm sorry. It'll be Gloucester at Revere. Gloucester at Revere will be our video game. And on Channel A, on Channel B, it will be Beverly at Lynn English. Marty Smith, Tim Kearns with that one. Paul Ingram and I will have the Gloucester at Revere game. Don't forget, on Friday at 10 a.m., it'll be Trending Now with Josh Arnold. He'll review the elections here in Gloucester, the preliminary election tomorrow, and talk with all kinds of newsmakers. So stay with us throughout the week. Check the website. It's really easy to navigate now. Thanks for being with us. Good night.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.